This week, we take a look at a Corvette straight out of Top Gun and a Cybertruck straight out of GTA, plus the world's most insane city cars and why rally drivers are mad they can't say f*** anymore. But first, how pricey trips to the dealership might become a thing of the f***ing past. It's the Big Three. Welcome to the show, everybody. We are an automotive news show most of the time. My name is Nolan Sykes, joined by Joe Weber.
What's up?
And Bart Bidlingmeyer.
Were you trying to say something else and it just couldn't clear?
I panicked.
Okay. All
right. Yeah. Sick. Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Yeah, we're just talking about Bart's dragon shirt.
Yeah.
And how much we miss, or at least, I don't know if you guys miss it.
I don't miss it. I'm wearing it, man.
Yeah, I know. They made sunglasses, right?
They made sunglasses, goggles, like ski,
yeah,
snowboard stuff.
And that pretty got cool us talking stuff about Oakley, because the founder of Oakley is selling his house this week, and it's a giant compound in Beverly Hills. I think it's like 60-something million dollars. Brutalist.
It looks sick.
You think it looks cool?
No, I don't.
Would you want
Yeah.
It's like all concrete. There's like it's where the futuristic chopper in there in the living room. The kitchen is all like riveted aluminum. It's very on brand for
really cozy, what you're saying.
Yeah, really super cozy. Have Lex Luthor over for a cup of coffee.
We went out to Fresno this weekend for a rallycross thing. We took the low WRX. This video is coming out in a couple weeks, but we rallified it.
Yeah,
dirt tires on it, lifted the suspension, skid plates, all
that.
We
were talking about it. It does look sick.
It's fun.
It makes you realize, you see him on the street and you're like, oh yeah, that's it's a sick little WRX. That's cool. And then you do a rally kind of kit and you're like, oh, that's
what it's
for.
Yeah. That's
I think it's sitting a little too high on that suspension, but screw it.
It's 8 feet high.
A little monster truck status. Yeah. Wow. There's like, and we saw like another, saw a couple of rally Subarus there. And they were a little lower, so I'd like to figure that out.
What size are the wheels?
I don't know the height of
They're beefy.
They're pretty beefy, though. They're 15-inch. We have a 15-inch wheel on there with like a really thick sidewall tire. We got a Hankook rally tire on there. But yeah, it was really fun. Shout out to Kyle out there who saw us doing our runs and was like, your car, it need to like disconnect the front sway bar and take out that ABS fuse because your car is not turning. It didn't want to rotate at all.
Yeah.
Around the turns, which was, and then once we did that, totally worked. It was really just super fun car. The gearing is too tall now with the taller tires on it.
Oh.
And it was hard to like get into the boost.
So staying low in the rev range.
Staying pretty low in the revs. So we need to rectify that, but it was a really fun. Anyway, that video is coming out soon.
Oh, I can't wait for that video to come out. Let's hear some car news.
Let's do it. Last week, a federal bill that has dealership service departments shaking in their boots was reintroduced by a bipartisan group of lawmakers. Congress members from both sides of the aisle are advocating for a bill that would give independent shops the same access to tools and data that dealerships do. Called the Repair Bill, it stands for Right to Equitable and Professional Auto Industry Repair.
Repair. That's good.
They kind of shoehorned that a little bit.
Yeah, that happens at NASA too.
A little try hard.
It's a bit on the nose.
I love that this is happening, but I also think we should make more of an effort to make those things accessible to like us. Like I don't own a shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
I should still be able to figure out how to repair some, in quotes, proprietary element on a car.
I think what's going to be included in this, though? Specialty tools.
Well, let's talk about it. Why does this matter to you, dear listener? Well, in short, it could help make car repairs much cheaper by mandating that independent shops have the same access to data and tools as dealerships. And this ensures that everyone has equal access to diagnostic data and software, allows garages that aren't associated with an automaker to calibrate a car's electronic features. And this news comes on the heels of another right to repair win in Massachusetts that we talked about last week.
Yeah, that was a cool win for Massachusetts. We are all on the side of right to repair. I feel like most of our listeners will be too, unless they're like maybe Elon's listening.
Yeah. The right to repair affects more than just cars too. Things like heavy machinery, farming equipment, and even laptops and phones are becoming increasingly hard to fix without taking it to the manufacturer.
I will tell you, I tried to fix my iPhone one time And I even ordered all the little screwdrivers.
Yeah.
And then
the front screen's always tricky.
Yeah.
Back's pretty easy.
I got that off pretty easy.
Okay.
And then I was like feeling very confident. So I took a little hit of my Benjamin. And that was a mistake because the screws are
they're
as
tiny.
Small as one rice.
Yeah.
And so I'm like trying to hold these for dear life. And I was holding them too hard, the tweezers, and they would just spring. And then I never saw them again. And I think I lost like 7 little tiny screws. And then I was like, okay, this is happening.
That's so, enough screws.
Yeah, I used the remaining screws that were supposed to go inside the phone to bolt the thing up to look like I hadn't touched it at all. And then I traded it in at the T-Mobile store.
Like, why is my phone rattling?
Yeah. But like, if you make that easier, huh?
Did you try a hard reboot?
Make that easier. You should be able to hit the Benjamin and fix your phone.
Yeah. If you can't fix a piece of machinery after hitting the Benjamin, then it's too difficult.
Yeah.
Is that in this law?
Get Congress in on it.
Yeah.
As of right now, there's no federal law prohibiting manufacturers from locking repair info behind their own tools at the dealerships. According to The Drive, dealership costs are 36% higher than independent shops. And as a result, automakers are unsurprisingly against this bill.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, too, if you talk to independent shops. So a lot of people who work for the independent shops have come from dealership shops.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to me about dealership shops is it's like, it is this code? Do this. Did that work? Do this. And you're not thinking about it. And so sometimes the dealership shops, the reason they have to cover more cost is because they're doing more bullshit to find the problem because they don't think about what is the quickest way to troubleshoot this.
Independent shops have to think about.
And they're paying an hourly instead of, if you're an independent shop, it's like, this is what this job costs.
And you usually have to like get, you know, the limit on your income at an independent shop is how many cars you can get through a day, whereas sounds like it's the opposite of some of these dealership shops.
Yeah. And they have to do, I know independent shops can be licensed to do recalls, but a lot of the dealership stuff is you have to go to that place and that's what they're paying.
Dude, I mean, it cost, so at one point me and my wife had the same car.
My wife.
It's okay. There's two reasons to get married. One is you get to say, my wife. And the other reason is you get to say, where's my wife?
Yeah.
Wife. Yeah. Those are the two
emphasis
reasons.
Emphasis on my or emphasis on wife?
Where's my wife?
Or,
my wife. Where's my wife?
Yeah.
Was that Liam Neeson?
Oh.
Where's my Taken? Wife? Yeah, I think so.
That's his daughter, though.
Yeah, but there was like five.
There was one.
So
yeah, but
there's gotta be a wife
he gets
one.
Taken at some point, too.
Where am I?
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of having a very particular set of skills, back to the dealership.
Nice. Hell yeah. So Emily had to change her 12-volt battery. It's a hybrid car. It's in a weird spot.
Mm.
I looked up. I was like, I should be able to just buy a 12-volt battery, replace it. It's getting to it is one thing. And then you actually have to program the battery using this crazy software. And it was like, all the choices were like liquid.
So you got the Benjamin button out.
Yeah.
No. Started going on
Google.
Oh
boy, that was a bad idea. I never learned. But she ended up having, I was like, I'm going to f your car up. You better take it to the pros. And it was like $800 to replace her 12-volt battery.
Wow.
But I was talking to Steph, who is a certified Audi tech. And she was like, yeah, that was the right move. And I was like, do you think I could, we have one of those like OBD2 scanners that also, it's like,
we have a pretty sophisticated one here.
Yeah. It's called a Euro box or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember, but there's settings for Audi and you can like kind of hack into your car a little bit. All I wanted to do was reset the check or like replace oil alert. And she was like, oh no, you actually have to go to like the dealership and they have to use a license computer to reset that just message on your dashboard. I was like, I already did the oil thing.
Yeah.
Valvoline didn't have that, like the computer to reset the message.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous really that you have to go through this many hoops and, you know, the manufacturers get to basically have a monopoly on, controlling notifications on your dash there.
Yeah.
So,
well, even that's just like routine maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, like that,
it shouldn't be that crazy.
No.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
So concerning this bill, don't get your hopes up just yet. The bill was initially introduced back in late 2023, but with the recent momentum with right to repair laws, it might mean the time is finally right to pass this thing. This legislation could mean similar wins for right to repair with things like laptops, smartphones, and even wheelchairs. And maybe, Joe, we can finally have a phone where the screws are a little bigger.
Make screws bigger on phones. Everyone's saying that.
Yeah, my phone should look like the Oakley guy's house.
Not rivets. That would be
but
really,
big ass.
Can you imagine rivets on your phone?
Rivet phone.
That's like a water world phone.
Yeah, it is. We should become steampunk guys.
Dude, I've been waiting for you to say that. I bought a top hat with goggles.
You pull out a top hat, a pair of goggles, and hand them over. Yeah. Here's your trench coat, Nolan. Yeah. Let's go to lunch in a hot air balloon. Speaking of air travel, this jet-inspired Corvette by Upstart Tuners MXtrem might be the coolest vet we've ever... Audrey, it's not the coolest vet we've ever seen. But it might also be a fire festival for car enthusiasts.
Is it MXtrem?
MXtrem is probably.
I think so.
Yeah.
But there's no E at the end.
Motocross.
So it's a flat E. MXtrem.
Well, you could put the solid line over
there.
Yeah,
but there isn't a solid line, is there?
You know, there's a lot of leeway in the English language. It's meant to evolve.
According to MXtrem or MXtrem, the standard car known as the Maverick is based on the C8 Corvette. But buyers can have the Top Gun makeover done to their choice of the Stingray, the Z06, or E-Ray C8 Corvettes.
Please f*** up my Z06.
So this car, guys, they try to make the C8 look like a jet.
I will also say, though, it's a Corvette. Do whatever you want. Yeah. You know, it'll
make it more rare, that's for sure, right?
It does look like a jet, though. This is Barris level.
So it's got some touches, like it's got a yoke for a steering wheel.
Yeah. It's got the fighter jet.
It has a joystick.
Which
I think they also call that the yoke. I don't know.
They call it a flight stick,
on the center console.
Got the flight stick on the center console. On the outside, though, it's got vertical stabilizers. It's got super aggressive aero. It's got mock thrusters coming out. Like, it's got like jet engine afterburner, like nozzles coming out of the back of the car. And also missiles at the back, too. Like
the fake butt of a missile.
Yeah, fake butts of missiles. It's so... It's
over
so
the top.
Ugly.
It's inspired.
It's real bad. So...
But this or like a Mansory?
Mansory every time.
Really?
Over something like... Joe, this is like something like a three-year-old would draw.
Yeah, that's what makes it awesome.
No. No, this is really... Let's just get through this. We'll look at the pictures and we'll discuss it further. Everyone from Road and Track to Auto Evolution has been talking about this thing. Why they have, I have no idea. And they've come to the same conclusion.
Yeah, who would talk about this thing? Why would anyone talk about this thing?
Hey, not only are we a car new, we're a automotive journalism
aggregator.
We are critics of the scene that we're also in. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
But we've all come to the same conclusion. It's all a bit sketchy. So when we say that the company is an upstart, we mean that their Instagram is only 1 week old and that their website has no info about this company. Okay. If you are listening to this and are willing to take the risk, MXtrem or MXtrem requires buyers to apply for the right to have the car built. They're going to be vetted by the company and deemed if you're worthy or not to own such a machine.
I love that. I love that. And they're like, wait a minute. You're over 8 years old. We're not doing, you can't, you don't need this.
Audrey, can you pull up some pictures for us of this thing? Let's just look at this. We've seen some ugly cars, I think. We've seen some ill-advised designs
but
in our time here.
Like, look at it through the eyes of how you look at George Barris custom cars.
Yeah.
Right? In 30 years, people are going to be like, whoa, that's crazy. That someone made that? And we don't know if it's going to actually be made.
Yeah. Well, look, there was also Lamborghini made a F22 inspired model a few years ago. It was like a very limited run. I don't know how many they made, but I think it was called the Reventone.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that thing, I mean, that is sick.
That was sick.
That looks awesome that because it doesn't have vertical stabilizers and the jet engines coming out the back.
I don't mind any of it. Yeah.
You know what they should do?
And they said they're going to make 12. And yes. It's like,
cool.
12 great. Too many.
Yeah.
Oh, no one.
they
but
should
you're
have
not
little...
buying it. I'm not. I mean, who, you know, you want that car? Get that car.
I guess.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is going to get 3 of them for sure.
You know, yeah, I guess spend your money how you're going to
and it's
do it.
The Corvette has always been the astronaut slash fighter pilot car.
I know.
So,
and this, you know, this the
more power
C2 Stingray, very good looking car. That's what the astronauts drove the first time. I mean, yeah, Corvette.
They leased
very,
it for $1.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's a good looking car, Bart. That's the difference.
Look, I agree with you that this looks weird. I'm not.
It's beyond weird.
Anyways, I'm saying there is a
tails on it.
It's
stabilizers.
Still fine, but it's a Corvette. Do whatever you want.
I
it's not
know,
a Bugatti. It's not
no,
like
it's not.
Are you
it's
saying
not
that the vertical
like,
stabilizers do nothing in a hairpin turn?
We'll find out. All right, let's get one. You know what? Let's apply.
Yeah,
they're gonna make 12.
Sure. You
great.
Can do that.
I don't. Please I'm not do. Gonna. I think that's a donut video.
No, it's not.
That is
absolutely not.
As a company,
nope.
Donut is going to get this car and test it. We're going to do a track day. Thanks
don't
to the new, we're going to promote
ideas.
The new owners of Willow Spring. We're going to compare this to a Corvette
okay.
This Corvette.
That's actually a good video.
I know
no,
it's good.
Not.
Yeah.
That's a good video.
I'm saying no. But my
let us know what you think in the comments.
You know what it should have, though, is little tiny thrusters on the side of the car.
Mm-hmm. So that if you're coming around a corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love
very
it.
Nice.
All right. So even if this thing turns out to be a total scam, which it's probably not, honestly. It probably, we'll
I don't
probably see one of these.
Make that.
Daniel Mack will probably make a video with someone driving one of these. Hey, what do you do for a living? And it turns out.
I run a tuner shop that
Tom
does
Cruise.
Corvette
oh.
mods. it'll be the guy from MX.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a weird car, but not any weirder than buying this Cybertruck. German tuner Mansory has a new Cybertruck build that makes the divisive truck somehow even more of a rolling meme. They call their Cybertruck Elongation.
Elongation.
Emphasis.
Really, you got to hit the elong. Yeah.
They capitalize it.
Yeah.
I want to, before we get into this truck, first of all, I will say, looking at this truck, I think it looks better than a Cybertruck.
Really?
From the, I do.
I,
yeah.
I think I agree with you, Bart.
It, yes, it is more aesthetically pleasing if that's, which of course is possible, but.
I'm trying to come at it from like as least a biased I can.
What I would like to say before we get into the Cybertruck is whenever the Cybertruck or Tesla comes up, people are like, I was enjoying this podcast till you got political.
and it's like,
okay. It's not political. We're talking about the car. And it's like, oh, you're talking about Tesla drivers. We talk about BMW drivers. Like, it's not political.
No.
This fucking Cybertruck sucks.
It sucks.
Like, everyone... You know, people, it has been shown the reason there are memes of it getting stuck in the snow is because it gets stuck in the snow.
Mm-hmm. The door cards come off when you shut the door.
Yes. Anyway,
yes.
So we are going to talk about the elongation, their name, not ours.
Yeah.
It is not political.
I will
the truck.
Go on the record and say that I also hate Mansory. And I hate every car that Mansory makes. And it's just like... the most Dubai spec I can think of, and I don't like their styling.
Well, I can't wait to tell you why you're a little wrong about that.
Okay.
Later in this story. So.
I'm going to have to wait till
on,
the end.
Nolan.
Just tell me why I'm
so
wrong.
I'm going to listen to the whole
this
podcast.
Mansory, the elongation gets you 26-inch wheels, floodlights and carbon fiber wings, carbon bumpers, carbon side mirrors, and a carbon frunk.
And it's all that Mansory forged carbon that looks so cheap.
The interior might be even more striking than the outside is, though. Tesla's minimalist styling is completely gone, and in its place is white charcoal and lime green interior, dude. Lime green. Lime green. So, making cars more appealing to grown men with the taste of a third grader is Mansory's expertise. They've developed aggressive Hot Wheels-esque body kits for all sorts of cars, like the Bugatti Chiron, the Cadillac Escalade, and the Ferrari Piro Sangue.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now, back to the show.
So what? Strange tell name, me why I'm wrong.
Well, you said Dubai taste, but I did a little reading. It's hard to find history about Mansory. I think because people in the auto space, like us.
Are we going to have another conspiracy theory? Nolan?
No, I'm just saying
all he does is talk about conspiracy theories when the camera's off.
That is not true at all. They're ugly most of the time. They're pretty crazy cars.
So Joe's right.
Well, the guy is not from Dubai. Wow. He's from Iran.
Dubai spec.
Yeah. I know, but.
Okay. Tell me what Iran spec is.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not the same as Dubai.
That's what I'm saying. People in Dubai drive stuff that looks like Mansory.
I'm just saying, I would like to know more about this man and his company. There's a reason that he's been doing this since like the early 90s.
Yeah.
And clearly there's an audience for it because this company has modified like everything from they did the Rolls-Royce Cullinan a couple years ago.
They've done
like everything.
Everything.
Here's
why I don't like Mansory. There's a quote from Ray Charles a long time ago, and he was talking to, I think it was like Michael McDonald or something. He was like, when you're singing, think of it like a coffee cup and you're pouring the coffee right to the top, but you don't go over the top. Uh-huh.
And he said, I don't know where this is going.
I think this was Mansory is just like, they pour the coffee and it goes all over the table. Like, think of Gimbala. Mm-hmm. They were right at the top of the coffee cup, right? Like,
they're pretty
to the point where it was like, actually cool? It was cool.
Yeah.
It still is cool.
You see the surface tension holding the coffee spilling over the side.
It's like a bubble.
I agree. Look, I'm not saying that Mansory cars are what I'm into at all. I just think it's really interesting that there's like no mainstream publications that have done stories. You type in Mansory history or type in any sort of Mansory into Google and you will find like Car and Driver, other legacy publications writing articles. All they do is just shit on this guy and his cars. When it's like, I would actually love to go over there to Germany and like talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Hear his life story.
You should watch that Matt Armstrong video.
I should do that. Sorry, Joe. I'll do that instead of like actually making a video about it. You're right. Yeah.
Because he did that. He drove to Germany with his Mansory it was a crashed Mansory, Rolls Royce.
Okay.
I can't remember. Ghost or Phantom or whatever. He repaired it to Mansory spec and it took him like a long time, put a lot of effort into it. Drove it from Spain to Germany and went to a bunch of racetracks. It's a really good video. And he wanted to get this dude's opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mansory just shat on it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, even he doesn't like his cars.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Well, he's a perfectionist, sure. But he was like pointing out everything.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I could see that for sure. Yeah.
Well, makes sense. I think we're shitting on Mansory aside. I think this easy to elongation do. Tesla Cybertruck looks better than a Cybertruck.
Is it Unplugged Performance that we got?
Yes.
The Cybertruck we did. I like theirs too. They've been refining it. And I think with like the wide fenders on it and like the beefier off-road tires, like it starts to like look
like a fully thought out concept.
I think
more thought out.
Yeah.
It's like putting like nail polish on a turd. Like,
again, though, some people really love a shiny turd. So,
yeah.
When you think about Aston Martin, you probably think of James Bond, sleek grand touring cars, or even track-ready hypercars. But you probably don't think of a rebadged Scion IQ, and neither did anyone else. And that's why 7 years ago, when a customer asked to have the V8 from the Vantage stuff into the Signet, Aston Martin obliged them. So we've talked about this car before on our main channel. It weighs 1,800 pounds, makes 430 horsepower. It's rear wheel drive. It's got a wide body on it and sounds like this.
That's sick.
Yes, please. It looks so silly, though.
Yeah.
I don't mind the Signet. Let's just go on record.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because we just chat on.
Let's have some. See, that's what I'm talking about, though. This thing is equally silly as anything Mansur's ever made. It's ugly.
Yeah. I have walked past a Scion IQ and been like, man, that would be fun to whip around.
Oh, for sure. I didn't know they're rear wheel drive. So
they're not usually.
Oh, okay.
This is like mid engine, I think.
Gotcha. Because the Smart 4 2 is rear wheel drive.
Really?
Yes.
Dude.
Yeah.
That wheelbase.
That'd be fun. I know. So, super insane build for a small city car. Aston only made one of them as a special order, and now it could be yours. That's right. It's up for sale. It only has 2,900 miles on it and has been maintained by Aston Martin at an authorized dealership using authorized tools and equipment to assess the
proprietary
maintenance.
By Martin himself.
Yeah.
Going back to the Corvette and how silly that is, like there's something just to revel in about these super silly builds. And the fact that this one came from Aston Martin
themselves,
they were like, we'll do that.
Yeah.
Look at it. Like, good for them.
I wonder how much it cost like that customer to do it, because a one-off build bespoke like that must have been at least.
I do have a feeling they were like, we got plenty of Signets.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll pluck one off the floor right now. Yeah.
I think it's a way to turn a whack thing like a rebadged IQ that costs for some reason $50,000 into something that makes sense for the brand.
Yeah.
Because all the Signet was like literally just rebadged. It was the same drivetrain and it had like
the interior leather. Was nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
They made it look nice and
sure. Fine.
Why'd they build it?
Money. They were like, people want smaller cars.
Actually, I think it was for fleet.
Really? Why would you want an Aston Martin Signet fleet car?
If for Aston Martin's like overall fleet, like fuel efficiency.
Oh, right. That is right. That is right. Those. I remember that now.
Yeah.
They needed sense. A fuel efficient car to meet standards. So they just built
it. It was
a
Europe only kind of deal. Yeah. Like, we didn't get these over here, but I have fun with it, I guess. Drive it more than 2,900 miles. Like, that'd be awesome to have this thing, actually. Like, that'd be sick. The gas tank is probably like 7 gallons. Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, if it's rear engine, they might have, or it's a
tiny ass car.
Yeah, I know. They probably
it's a tiny ass car.
Yeah.
You turn into a tiny Looney Tune for a second.
I feel like a Looney Tune today.
Very nice. hey, do you know where Borat lives?
No.
In Van Nuys.
Is that near the airport? Is he near the,
Did you just come up with that, or has that been in the back pocket?
That was a tweet that I did in 2014.
I remember that was right. That was when you blew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also what got me canceled.
There are a lot of Borat apologists out there.
That's a great movie. Yeah. I saw it for the first time like 2 years ago.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like an alien when it comes to movies. You're like, I've never seen Lord of the Rings.
I have seen that. Okay. Thankfully. I was hoping you would pull one out that I haven't seen.
I know. I was like, that's the
Titanic. Let's
keep trying.
Okay.
I haven't seen Titanic.
Ah! Oh, what?
Yeah, I think that came up before.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You're not missing much.
Don't ruin it for him, though.
I won't. The ship sinks.
I thought I saw it in Long Beach. That's a Queen Mary joke. Sort of.
Thanks. Yeah.
The FIA is taking a stand against swearing. Finally. The issues we need solved.
Yeah.
The FIA, which governs everything from Formula One to the World Rally Championship and everything in between, has implemented a system of fines, points penalties, and race bans for drivers caught swearing on team radios, in interviews, or anything else that might make it to a broadcast.
So the only fine you should get from the FIA for swearing is they say, that's fine.
That's right. Fines are based on the level of motorsports the driver competes in as well. At the highest level, or level 4, F1 drivers will be fined at $41,600 for a first offense.
Why is that the number?
It would have been an even number in euros.
35,000 euros? Oh. Oh, damn. I should go to Europe.
Well, no, it's 1-1. You want to like 2-1.
Yeah.
And then you just buy everything.
2-1?
2-1. $2 is 1 euro.
The EU. To go,
he never know. It could go the other way.
I remember.
Oh, then you guys get political.
Oh God!
I remember when I was a kid pulling up through a Taco Bell drive-thru, and there was like a thing where it's like you could win $1,000,000, and I was like, oh, that'd be awesome. And then like little like, asterisk is like equivalent to $88,000, and I was like, all right, that'd still be pretty good.
That's a lot.
That'd still be pretty good. Yeah, especially in like 2001, that'd be a good amount of money.
You could bid on a Callaway Corvette with that money.
Anyway, back to F1. A third offense will warrant a fine of $124,800 and a 1 month suspension and a points deduction.
That's lame as hell, dude.
That's fucking stupid, man.
Hey, look, and it's also like, I drive a car. We all drive a car. Anyone who drives a car knows that it goes with cursing.
Oh, I racked
you know,
up.
Like, there's that. What the fuck are you going to get in your fight? You know, it's curse city in a car, you know, like they can't
go already.
Let these guys talk.
Yeah. My commute this morning, I'm at 150 grand. Easy. Mm-hmm. But luckily, some drivers are fighting back, particularly rally drivers.
Yeah.
Hyundai driver Adrian Formeau.
Yes.
Was fined over 10 grand recently for saying he, quote, fucked up a stage. That was in an interview post-race. Then he faced an additional fine of over $20,000 and a suspension for another incident.
I can't believe that you'd suspend a driver.
That's so stupid, dude. In a joint statement signed by all WRC drivers, they argue that non-native English speakers should be given leniency and that it's, quote, unrealistic to expect a perfect and systematic control over emotions moments after hurtling through a rally.
Yeah. It's like the most stressful job you can have.
Yeah.
And you're talking to someone, the only other person that understands what situation you're in, the mechanic or engineer. This is dumb. I would just train myself to say like fart or something. Farting.
I just think it's the FIA and their decisions over the past 5-10 years or so, even though I think, you know, the sport has definitely grown in popularity and more successful in the US than it's ever been. You know, they just keep making decisions like this. Well, it's like they're
I understand
like,
this idea of
we can't let this be successful, you know?
Yeah.
I understand the idea of this is a family. We want kids to be able to access and get into this. And so on the one hand, all right. But on the other hand, if you're a kid and the guy's like, I fucked up that stage, you're like,
swearing's
like
cool.
It's naughty.
Yeah. Swearing's cool when you're a kid.
And it's not like basketball players don't swear.
A lot of athletes.
Well, they don't.
Yeah.
I think people are, though, very careful not to swear in interviews.
Yes.
And I think the answer to that is you don't talk to somebody right after they, in quotes, fucked up a stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a, you know, like NBA has a press conference. Everybody's gone to the locker room. Things have cooled off and processed.
Yeah,
if you're coming out of a car, out of a wreck, if you look at NASCAR, I mean, oh man, F-bombs everywhere. Mm-hmm.
But that's what paparazzi and the press prey on, though. Mm-hmm. They want to get you at your weakest moment so you blow up and they have a soundbite.
I mean, it's what gets me, though, is the FIA uses F1, or F1 is like a great like sports
washing.
They put
the F in F1.
Yeah.
Bring the F back to F1, FIA.
I love that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's no secret that the F1 is used as like a sports washing, mechanism. They race in countries that do terrible things. And then like, oh, but swearing is the issue.
I was going to say Baku. You know?
I'm not going to get political. Yeah. You had to get political, Nolan.
I'm just, it's just, that's just how it is, you know? I mean, there was a missile attack. I think it was at Saudi a couple years ago. And they kept racing. And it was just like, this is ridiculous that we're doing this. And again, also, this is just one part of an entire like code of conduct at the FIA where it's like, you're not allowed to be political. You're not allowed to like show support for, you know, even if that means wearing like Sebastian Vettel, you know, he had a rainbow t-shirt or rainbow on his helmet or something like
Wasn't
that
it,
when they race
Lewis Hamilton,
that Lewis also very good at doing that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like very, and like, you know, he can get away with it obviously because he's Lewis.
Yeah.
The best. So, you know, it's just ridiculous.
They'll come down on drivers for that kind of shit, but then they'll like get backlash and then they'll, the next race, every driver will have like promote love, mm-hmm. like some kind of dumb generic message all over their car. It's,
I mean, I think kind of like just a part of pop culture and our kind of a, not pop culture's obsession, but I think society's obsession with kind of like policing language. And this goes for both sides of like any spectrum, you know, it's like we try not, you don't want to be offensive and like we want to promote, you know, equality and equity and like being decent to each other. And I think that's great. But like on the other side of it is like, on the other side of it is that where it's like, oh, we can't like be offensive by, you know, we have to be proper and like, you know, professional and like also, and this just happens to also coincide with our policies of making sure you don't wear t-shirts that, support, oppressed people on the podium. You know, it's like, it's just, it's bullshit, man. It's all bullshit.
Yeah. I don't also, like it. FIA is based in France, right?
Yeah.
They swear in France, I'm pretty sure.
Nailed.
You know,
in Canada, they have the breach from the French dialect. Also, France has an organization that determines what is and isn't in their language to be used. It's much different than like the English language where it kind of, anyway, so France takes French very seriously. When the French came to Canada and Quebec, etc., you know, as there's the proliferation of Francophones, they kept very archaic, like French curses. And so like, they'll say like, Osta, which is like, God, it's the host, Father, Son. Oh. But it's, they have these old biblical, you know, Christian determined can't say curse words.
Yeah. Cheesy that are crackers.
Like, yep. Tabernak. You know, like, and it's like, you know, it's like us being here like, oh, Bible. This guy just cut me off. You know, like, it just doesn't happen. So. Yeah.
I think the best, like if you were a driver and you're like, how do I get around this and still swear, is just do
I farted up
like
a
that.
Stage.
Yeah.
Farted up stage two.
Or, you know, like how the Ying Yang Twins got skeet, skeet, skeet on the radio for years before people were like, hey, what does that mean?
Make up their own vernacular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it's just, I think pretty ridiculous, especially coming from someone like the head of the FIA, Mohammed Ben Salouyem.
Yeah.
He was a rally driver himself.
Yeah.
Successful one.
Yeah, but he didn't curse.
I somehow doubt that. So I don't know. I support the drivers in their.
They should be able to say whatever
they
want.
They should.
You should be able to fuck up. Right.
Yeah. Like, and also it makes it. It's fun to watch when they do. Like, that's how you know they're pissed off about something.
Yep.
Like, just look at the F1, what goes viral from F1. It's Max Verstappen going like, he's a fucking idiot. He cut me off.
That was good. That was the only, that was good. He's hard to impersonate, I think, his accent.
Did you see Carlos Sainz fastest time in a Williams?
Did not see that. Yeah. I didn't keep up with the testing at all.
Fastest in testing in a Williams, Mr. Carlos Sainz, my guy. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. So I'm excited for this season.
I did see another statement that he put out I think like today or yesterday, where he's like, don't expect us to be at the front of the grid.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Yeah.
So he's like,
I'm not going to try.
He's trying to like temper people's expectations. Yeah. Yeah. After getting the fastest time. Ferrari, they like left testing without doing a full race simulation with Lewis. So that's got me a little worried.
Ooh.
A little worried.
Did you see his interview in Time?
No, I haven't been in my magazine rack lately. Go check that out.
And I don't go to the dentist or doctor.
Those two are also true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you were just jabbing at me. I was like, what?
No, I have magazines there.
It's not a lot of magazines.
Yeah. It's the only time I ever read magazines.
Or at the airport. What are we talking about? Okay. This stupid law from the FIA. If you think it's cool, you should rethink that. Okay.
Go back to Bible school.
Dabelnack.
That is our show, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Give us a like and a follow and a review on the platform of your choice. And check out our other podcast, Past Gas, that we also do. It'd be a history show. If you haven't listened to Past Gas, it's more of like a storytelling history show. We do like get real in depth with things that happen in car history.
It's less spicy. It's like the Melindas of podcasts.
I don't know what that means.
Come on, hot sauce guys.
All right.
Melinda's, it's all sugar, no kick.
I need kick. Follow us at Donut Podcasts and our personal accounts at Bids Bardo, at Joe G. Weber, and me at Nolan J. Sykes. Big thanks to the crew, as always. We got Mark Schroeder, Audrey Holden, and Edgar Grajeda.
Don't forget your mic.
I did mess up Mark's name last week.
Okay. This way you can cover it. Thank you, Mike. And then he'll be like, oh, he didn't mess up my name. He did it twice in a row.
Oh, has he been doing that the whole time?
Oh.
All right. Goodbye. I'm going to take a nap.